Mark chapter number 15, begin reading in verse number 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say hang on. All right. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 15, in verse number 7, this is what it says, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I should do unto him who is called the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Lord, I know we have some out, and I know some are watching by way of internet. And Lord, I appreciate that capability that we're able to do that and reach people. But Lord, I pray, God, there's not a person in this room, there's not a person watching right now that has any desire to hear anything that I personally have to say. But Lord, we want to hear what you have to say. So God, I pray that if you could use me as a vessel, to use me as a yielded vessel unto you, and if you can speak through me, I pray right now that you would do that in a mighty way, Lord, to speak to the people, to encourage the people, to uplift the people. And Lord, I pray that you would get honor and glory for everything that's done, and we will bow our heads and give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Here's an interesting thing that I noticed as we was reading this verse. They said, Crucify Jesus, and Pilate asked the question, Why? Pilate knew what Barabbas had done. Pilate knew what the two other thieves had done, and Pilate knew that three people were going to die on the crosses on the hill called Golgotha that day. But Pilate did not know, and still is confused, what Jesus did wrong. Because Pilate knew that he had never pulled a shady deal. He had never had a wicked thought. He never walked a crooked path. And everybody around there knew that this trial was fake and mocked and set up, if you will. And Pilate said, Why? Why would you crucify the Lord of glory? Why would you crucify your King of the Jews? Now, here's something that I want to draw your attention to. This man by the name of Barabbas. Who was Barabbas? His name meant, when people in the Bible named their kids, they named them not just haphazardly or got on the internet and said, what is the typical boy names, the typical girl names, and go through there and pick. The people of the Bible picked names based upon what they wanted their child to become, or something of that nature. Barabbas' name means son of return. In other words, it gives the implication that Barabbas' mom and dad were godly people. It doesn't say that, but it gives the indication that They were God-believing people. They worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they named their son the Son of Return. So if he ever departed, that the psalm, or the proverb rather, would come to pass: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And Barabbas would return back to believing in God. Now, that's just all speculation, but his name does mean Son of Return. All four Gospels mention this fellow named Barabbas. Matthew calls him a notable prisoner. You say, what does notable prisoner mean? That means he was well known in the prison system. Well noted. His name struck fear in people. Like if there was to say Charles Manson or Ted Bundy or Adolf Hitler, you would know what those names meant. Well, in the Bible, anybody that mentioned the name Barabbas knew what that name meant: a notable prisoner. In other words, he spent more time in prison than he did outside of prison. The book of Mark says that he was in prison with the insurrectionists. In other words, there were three people that died on the cross that day: two thieves, and Barabbas was supposed to die. Insurrection means that they came up against the Roman government and tried to overthrow the government, and in the process of that, Barabbas killed somebody and murdered them. Luke says that he was in prison for the insurrection and murder. John even adds that he was a robber. He broke into people's houses and took things that didn't belong to him. And then Peter preached a sermon in Acts chapter number 3 and even mentioned Barabbas. And this is what he said: "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Prison was where Barabbas belonged. Prison was the place he should have been kept. He was a cold-blooded killer. As many terrorists in our day, he may have looked dangerous, or he may not have looked dangerous, I don't know. But he was a menace to society. And when you add the word notorious, it means that everybody knew who Barabbas was and what he was all about. Prison was where he belonged. He was there because of heinous crimes. Why would anybody want him to be set free? Why would anybody in that crowd choose Barabbas over Jesus? Well, I'll tell you, because the Bible says in John 3:19, light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. You may be looking at the world events today and say, how in the world can people not see what's going on right before our eyes? How the book of Revelation is playing out like the front page of the newspaper? And it's because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. This morning I want to portray and give you a picture of the man named Barabbas and tell you his story. Barabbas, I want to give you his past. He had an awful past. Barabbas was probably raised right. Somewhere down the line, he got with the wrong crowd. Would you not agree? He started rebelling and disobeying his parents. He started sneaking out the window and staying out late, right? He got into some minor trouble, which become bigger trouble. He started drinking and doping and carrying on and breaking into people's houses. And drugs became the major problem, and he'd break into more houses to fix his habit and support his habit. He got so bad he killed innocent people, and sin finally caught up with him. Sin will make a fool out of you. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you a whole lot more than you want to pay. The Bible says he was rebellious. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're looking at me, and I got my glasses on, so everybody right here, I wear these so I can see up close. Well, when I look out here, everybody's blurry, so I don't know if you're smiling, frowning, what, or sleep, or whatever. But he was rebellious. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, preacher, I'm not like Barabbas. I'm not rebellious at all. Well, let me just remind you, might remind us of a few things, that every time you've ever told God no, disobeyed God in any way, do we need a show of hands on that? You rebelled against the God of heaven. Okay, preacher, you got me on that one. Number two, he was a thief. Ah, you're not going to get me on that. I've never stole anything. I'm not like Barabbas. The Bible says everybody in this room, everybody in the world was created to glorify God the Creator. When we try to run our own lives and do our own things and glorify ourselves, we deny God the glory and we steal glory from God and give it unto ourselves. We're not going to spend a lot of time right here because everybody will be under conviction, but we steal time that belongs to God. We steal money that belongs to God. Oh, every head bowed, every eye closed. Okay, preacher, you got me on the rebellious one and you got me on the thief. Okay, but you're not going to get me on this third one because the third one, he was a murderer. And preacher, I'm not like Barabbas because I've never murdered anybody. Well, let me just help you. When Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't dying for the Father's sins. He wasn't dying for the Holy Ghost sins. He wasn't even dying for his own sins because he had none. He was dying for your sin and my sin. He was dying in your place and my place. That means that when they crucified him, I'm the one that put him there, which makes me a murderer. I'm rebellious. I'm a thief. I'm a murderer. I gave you Barabbas' past. But number two, let me give you the penalty. No doubt Barabbas was arrested. No doubt they came and knocked on his door, placed him under arrest, took him before the high court. No doubt a courtroom setting took place, and no doubt that they brought witnesses in and said he stole from me, broke into my house, and he killed my brother or whoever, and boy, the witnesses just came and came and came and came. And after all the witnesses had had their peace, they said, Barabbas, have you got anything to say? And he says, I don't even have an attorney. Everything they said is true. I am guilty of everything that they said. No doubt the judge picked up the gavel and put it down and said, you have been charged with all of these crimes. You are guilty and must be put to death by crucifixion. When those words came across Barabbas' ears, there was a big knot that probably came into his throat. And he bowed his head and said, how in the world did I let the devil get me in this mess? How in the world did I get here? That started out very small, disobeying parents. Very small, stealing a piece of gum. Very small, and it increased and increased and increased and got me where I am today. Got me in a position to where I'm facing death in the next few days. His penalty. And Barabbas knew what that meant. Barabbas had seen it done many, many times because on what they call the pavement, it was a place, obviously, just by the very name would tell you, a concrete pavement. They had a big pole, a wooden pole with a ring in it at the very top, chains running through that ring, and they would put cuffs around those hands, and they would take that person and they would pull them up to where they're barely touching the ground. And Barabbas knew this. Barabbas knew what was coming. And Barabbas knew that they would take, two soldiers would take a cat of nine tails and take turns as they pulled him up to where he's barely meeting the floor. The cat of nine tails were nine strands of leather. In between that, every so often, 2 or 3 inches would be sheep bone, would be glass, would be some type of metal object. On the end, sometimes they would put those fish hooks, those big fish hooks. And when they would take and they would strike that person and they pull it back, it would pull flesh off of the back of that person. A lot of times a person did not make it. They did not even live to be crucified. They would die right there on the pavement. Barabbas knew that's why he had that knot in his throat. He knew what a guilty penalty was. And he knew that in just a few days, if he made it past the pavement, if he made it past them plucking his beard out, if he made it past just every so often somebody run up and kick him in the side, smote him in the face. I know this is uncouth, but I'm just not a couth preacher. I never have been. I just it don't work for me. But we're talking about men, grown men, and spitting on this person. Barabbas knew. He knew it was coming. He knew that they were going to place a 150-pound top post on his back, and he was going to have to carry it up that hill called Golgotha. They called it the place of the skull because if you were look, you would see a skull face in the side of that mountain. And on top of that mountain were three crosses, and he could look out his prison wall or prison window, and he could look and say, "That's where my life will end. I'm going to have to carry that post, that 150 post, up top if I make it past the beating of the pavement. I'll have to carry it up there. They'll lay it down on top of this post. And they'll attach it with me laying down. They will put nails in both hands. They will put both feet together like this and drive a nail through both feet at the same time down at the bottom. To where the only way a person could breathe, this is a Roman crucifixion, and most people died of asphyxiation, which is you can't breathe. And so what you would have to do, you would have to push up on that nail that's attached to that wood. Well, first of all, they ain't even got this. They got a 6-foot hole that they picked this thing up and they lift it up because it's so heavy. And they let it drop down into that 6-foot hole with a man crucified on it. And the only way a person could breathe is to lift himself up from that nail in his feet, take a breath, and let it out. That's the only way you could breathe. That's why when they came to the cross, they would, to try to make them hurry up and die, they would run that spear through their legs and break their legs so they can't pick up. They'd make them die faster. Because that's the only way you could breathe. Barabbas knew that was coming. That's why he was began to sweat, began to wonder his penalty. They placed him in a holding cell with the other two buddies, the two thieves. No doubt they're sitting there reminiscing. Boy, we got ourselves in a mess, didn't we? We have got ourselves in a mess. I'm sure one of them looked at Barabbas and said, I wish I'd have never met you. You done got us in a pickle. And no doubt outside that window they heard them making. Barabbas, what is that? What is that? Well, guys, I hate to tell you, but I've never been on death row before, but I've seen it done many times, as many times as I've been in here. I've seen it done, and they're making crosses for all three of us to die on. No doubt Barabbas described to them and said, "Guys, I'm sorry, but this is the way it's going to happen." No doubt they heard the jailer coming. He walks up to that door. He sticks that key in that door. And he looks at one of the thieves and he said, "You're first." They take that thief. Barabbas and the other thief are still in that holding cell. They take that other thief out to the pavement where they can hear the cat of nine tails. They're looking out their window going, "He won't never make it. He won't never make it past this." And they hear as they carry him up Golgotha's hill, and they hear that thief says, "Barabbas, what are they doing?" I says, "Well, that's the end of our lives. What we've accomplished, what we've done, this is our end. This is what the devil, this is our reward for serving the devil." And no doubt, here comes the jailer. He gets up to that thing, and no doubt, they're like, "Well, who's next?" The jailer says, "The other thief, come on, you're next." And they hear the same thing. The pavement, and Barabbas is in there by himself, sitting in that, and that cell by himself, reminiscing about, "Oh, I wish I'd have listened to Mom and Dad. Oh, I should have worshipped the God of heaven like they wanted me to." No doubt. He listened as they... He's looking out the window. And he sees his two buddies, one on each side, and he knows the cross in the middle is for him. It takes a little bit, and you don't understand what the weight is. But then all of a sudden, he hears the jailer's keys again. Barabbas, probably that big knot gets in his throat again. No doubt the jailer opens the door. Barabbas probably stands up and puts his hands out like this or like this. The jailer looks at Barabbas and says, "Barabbas, I don't understand what I'm about to tell you. I do not know what has gone on in that courtroom. I wasn't in there. I don't know what happened. All I know is I was told to tell you, you're free to go home with your family. Somebody else is going to die today in your place." Barabbas says, "I'm not going to argue with you. But who, pray tell, would love me, a man like me?" Oh, I'm feeling like preaching. "Who in their right mind would know who I am, what I have done, who, where I came from, where I've spent most of my life? I at least want to meet the man who's going to take my place." And that jailer said, "Well, I don't know if you know him. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before. But the man that's taking your place is a man by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Barabbas says, "Jesus Christ of Nazareth." The jailer says, You know him?" He says, "Well, yeah, everybody has heard of him. I was there when he was born. I was just a little kid, but we was out there and we was tearing up somebody's property, and all of a sudden there was a big star appeared in the middle of the sky. And all of a sudden the angels came out on dress display and started singing happy birthday to this little baby. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Yes, I know who He is. They told me His mama was Mary, but they did tell me that His daddy was the Lord of glory. Yeah, I know who He is. Matter of fact, me and my buddies, about 30 years later, we were out. John the Baptist was having a revival, a tent meeting. And we were out there trying to find somebody to pickpocket. And we were pickpocketing everybody. And all of a sudden, there was a bunch of people getting baptized. We was making fun of them and laughing and trying to find somebody to pickpocket. And all of a sudden, there was another fellow that came and got baptized that day. A bunch of people got baptized, but nobody got baptized like he got baptized. Because when he got baptized and stepped into the water, the heavens rolled back as a scroll. There was a big voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Yeah, I know who he is. Matter of fact, I was there when he healed blind Bartimaeus. We were in, any time there was a big crowd, we were around because we were trying to find something to steal. So I knew exactly where he was because the crowds followed him everywhere. I heard what he said. I knew what he said. He's a just man. Matter of fact, I saw him try his best to preach 3 funerals and couldn't because every time he walked into the funeral home, the dead got up. He wound up going home with the person he was preaching the funeral for. Yeah, I know who he is. Well, I feel like preaching this morning. I saw him when he was at the woman, met the woman at the well, and told her, "If you'll drink this water, you shall never thirst again." I know exactly who he is. And you're telling me that he wants to take my place and let me go free. And that jailer says, "I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But you're free to go home because of that man." Let me get on this side and say it again. You're free to go home because of that man. You have been given a pardon. Amen. Nothing will ever be held against. Nothing will ever be able to be brought up against you again. Matter of fact, I saw the clerk go in the computer myself. She wiped your record clean, and there is no record of a Barabbas doing anything wrong. Now you say, "Preacher, you think Barabbas got saved?" I don't know what Barabbas did with it. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue what Barabbas did with it. I don't know how he responded to that. But I know how his two buddies responded to that. There was 3 crosses there and 3 people were going to die that day. One thief on the right, one thief on the left, and the man in the middle was supposed to be Barabbas. One thief looked over at Jesus in the middle and said, "Why don't you get us down from here? They say you're the Christ. Why don't you get yourself down? And while you're doing it, won't you get us down too? Because I'm all in this for myself, you understand?" There was another fellow on the other side that lifted up, drew a breath, and said, "Do you know who you're talking to? We know what we're up here crucified for. That man has done nothing amiss. That man is innocent of all charges." And let me say this, you don't hear this kind of preaching in a lot of places, but you always hear it here. That man that mocked the Lord died and opened his eyes in hell. Luke 16 said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now, let me say this. Let me back up and say this. Fast forward before that. Guess who died first? Jesus died first because nobody... Remember, you can't die around him. I don't care how close to death the two thieves were. They had to wait on him to die because nobody could die around resurrection. But that thief over here said this, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? You say, how do you know that man got saved? Number one, he called him Lord. Number two, he said, would you remember me when you get to your kingdom? He must have known he was a king because he had to be a king if he had a kingdom. Lord, would you remember me when you get to your kingdom? And Jesus on the cross, right before he died, he said, today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but today, you will be with me in paradise. This thief over here dies, wakes up in a devil's hell that wasn't even prepared for him. God doesn't intend to send anybody. But if you reject what God has done for you, you'll have to go and pay for your own way. This fellow over here dies in agony, trying to get his last breath. He takes that last breath and, wow, where am I at? I ain't never seen that like this before. Jesus walks up to him and says, hey, let me introduce you to the rest of the family. Let me introduce you to the rest of the family. There's Abraham and Sarah over there. There's Daniel. There's the three Hebrew boys. All them Old Testament saints, let me introduce you to them. Because it ain't going to be too long. We're getting out of here, and I'm going to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Amen. So I don't know what Barabbas did. I have no idea. I know what this thief did, and I know what that thief did. And can I say this in closing? I know what this thief did. Amen. When I was a 10-year-old boy, I saw the three crosses, and I saw the man in the middle. Should have been me. I'm glad. You say, preacher, man, this is the simplest sermon. Yes, but ain't it good to be reminded? That God sent His only begotten Son to die just for me. I know what this thief did. I know what that thief did. I know what this thief did. What have you done with that man in the middle? I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if we got to heaven, because Barabbas' name, remember, the son of return? I wonder if he returned. I wonder. So don't be surprised if you bump into him in heaven and you say, Barabbas, how in the world did you get here? And he says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I sure do thank You. Lord, if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that don't know You, I pray, Lord, that they would focus on the man in the middle and know that the man in the middle died for me.
Lord, I sure do thank you. I pray, Lord, that those of us that are saved, some of us have been saved a long time, Lord, I pray we would never forget, as simple as this fact is, we would never get used to hearing about it. That you took my place and let me go free. I sure do thank you. In Jesus' name, won't you stand to your feet all over the building? The perfect time. A perfect time to come and say thank you.